Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.
If we are truly believing God for things in our lives, we need to get in on the giving end. We need to get in on the sowing end. Because when we do so, we will reap harvest.
Today on the Believer's Voice of Victory, Gloria Copeland and Pastor George Pearsons bring the last step to your Faith Steps series. In all you do, get on the giving side. Sow for an expectant harvest as you stand by faith.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. We have been having a wonderful time with Pastor George, learning more about what belongs to us in the prosperity realm. Mm-hmm. That's important, George.
It really is. To know what you're believing for and know what's involved in it, that is extremely important.
You know, Ken and I have been believing God for a lot of years. Mm-hmm. What, 40?
50.
Yeah, I don't know.
50 years.
And all that time, we've been tithers and sowers. And I don't know of any time, regardless of what was going on in the country, mm-hmm. in the world, whether mm-hmm. it's bad times or good times, we've always been blessed.
You really
have. We've always had what we needed.
Yep.
And that's just the way it works. Yeah. Glory to God.
The Lord has always supplied. He's mm-hmm. always provided. And you, too, have really applied the principles of faith that you learned through Brother Kenneth E. Hagin, the things that you learned through Oral Roberts, especially in faith where Brother Kenneth Hagin is concerned. That first year in 1967, you went to all of the seminars he had, the quarterly, I guess, seminars, 10-day.
We lived in there for a while.
In Tulsa, you know. Yeah. And you went to those and you learned about the realities of redemption. You learned about
everything.
The authority of the Word. Gloria, those are, you were in training.
And Ken was with Brother Roberts. He was learning about the power of God.
The power of God, the healing and miracle ministry.
And miracles. And
you were good students. Yep. And learning how to walk out the principles of faith so that they are able to give those principles to us.
Amen.
Well, what we're talking about,
we had nothing. I mean, we were...
Yeah, you were...
We were poverty with a capital P.
Did you live in a shotgun house? Did you live in one of them?
I'd call it a project house.
A project house.
A shotgun house. You could shoot through it with one shell, all right. Right down close to the river in Tulsa,
you
know.
Oh, man.
But we had a house. I mean, it wasn't our house, but we rented a house. And when it rained, we didn't get wet.
That's a good thing. That's a really good thing.
Yeah, but the thing was, we got in all of Brother Hagin's meetings.
Yes.
Ken was he was working with Brother Roberts, mm-hmm. flying on the airplane, so he mm-hmm. was in the miracle meetings. Of course, I was home with the little kids, but still, we had reel-to-reel tapes by then.
So you were able to listen.
And I was listening to those, and I was learning, and so I fed myself with the Word. And the Word is just, it just works.
It does.
You can't do anything better than learn what belongs to you. See, this is full of stuff that belongs to me and you.
Yep.
In this Word. But if you don't know it belongs to you, you don't take advantage of it.
But
so I'm still studying.
I was going to say, you have more revelation now about the Word and the operation of the Word that you did in 1967.
Sure.
You've grown, you've developed. I've developed since I got here in 1976. Oh my, when I got engaged to Terry and Kenneth found out, he sent me all of his cassette tapes. He thought, we got to get this boy up to speed really quick. And I did. I bore down into those and listened to them up at school. I listened to one a day. And when I came down to work for the ministry in that summer, I would go back to we call them the tape duplication room. And I'd go back there and I would pull out a series. I'd pull out a series before I would leave from work, go home. I was living with Kenneth's parents at the time, go back to the house, listen to it, bring it back the next morning, put it back. I was hungry. I was hungry for the Word. And what happens is the more hungry you are and the more you study and the more you apply and the more you're a doer of the Word, the more you begin to learn how the kingdom of God operates.
That's right.
And the kingdom of God has an operation that I've learned about. And this series came out of a series that Kenneth E. Hagin taught on steps to answered prayer, that Brother Copeland taught on seven steps to prayer that brings results. And I refreshed myself as in preparation for this time together. I refreshed myself by listening to those again. I listened to them over and over again and got that back, got the momentum back going about the faith steps that we are to take.
Yeah.
And let's go through the faith steps one more time.
I love that.
Step one, decide what you want from God. Be specific about the things that you're believing God for. Step two, locate scriptures that promise you what you want from God. Give the Word of God first place and make it final authority in your life. Step three, get those scriptures firmly fixed in your heart. You meditate the Word until that Word becomes so real on the inside that it completely wipes out any doubt and unbelief, but the Word takes prominence in the forefront of your thinking and your heart. Step four, ask God for what you want and believe you receive when you pray. When you ask God for what you want, we learn that we are to ask in the name of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And then what we do is at the end of that prayer, we say, amen, so be it, I take it now.
I believe I receive it now.
And I take it now. It's mine right now. From that moment forward.
And then you have it. I have it.
Yeah, you have it.
I can't drive it. Well, you might not can have it in your garage yet, but you have it.
That's
and
right.
And if you'll stay with it, you'll have it in your garage.
Now, you just said something very important right there. If you will stay with it.
Yes, amen.
That is the key. From step 5 through 10, that is the key. What Gloria just said, if you stay with it, if you treat this thing casually, you're not going to get anywhere because the devil's a fighter. And his primary...
Well, what does the Bible say? Resist him.
Resist the devil. He will flee.
If you don't resist, he's going to hang around. He's looking for a home. Don't let him take yours.
Mark 4 tells us that the sower sows the Word and Satan comes to steal the Word. Talk us out of it. Steal the Word that is in our hearts. So you really have to be aggressive about this.
That's right.
When you say amen, you must make a decision. What am I going to do between now and the time I can see that manifestation of what we prayed for? Well, that's what steps 5 through 10 are all about.
Mm-hmm.
Step 5, we must refuse to allow any doubt, fear, or fear to enter into our consciousness. Step 6, see yourself succeed and not fail.
Yes,
you are not failing.
The devil will come and he'll say, you're not going to get that. You're not going to be able, you're never going to get a car.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to do that.
Yeah.
What is he most famous for? What's the devil most famous for? Lying.
Lying.
There's lying. No truth in him.
So you know that whatever he says is a lie.
It's a lie.
So you just take the opposite of what
That's
he's saying
right.
to you.
Exactly.
In step 7, we must give God continual praise and thanksgiving. Oh, Lord, we thank you. I want to thank you that I have that now. We receive it in Jesus' name, and
amen.
We praise you and honor you for it. Step 8, make every prayer a statement of faith.
Mm-hmm.
When you pray from that point onward, then you just give God thanksgiving for it and say, thank you, Lord, I received it then.
Yeah.
I receive it now in Jesus' name.
You don't quit.
You don't quit. Step 8, step 9, testify to what you believe. Testify.
Say it.
Testify.
Father, I believe I receive.
I have it. I have our new house. We have our new car. I am healed in Jesus' name. You testify to that. And finally, step 10, here we are, Gloria. We've made it to step 10. Get on the giving end. Mm-hmm. Get on the giving end. And I've heard Brother Copeland say this over and over again, about you've got to get on the giving end.
Give, and it shall be given unto you.
To you. Good measure.
Pressed down.
Shaken together.
Running over.
Shall men give into your bosom.
Big return.
That's good. Big return.
Glory to God.
Big return.
Running over return.
If you are believing for finances, sow into someone else's life. If you need extra time, sow your time. If you're believing for debt freedom, sow towards debt freedom in somebody else's house. And that's what Terry and I did.
Somebody else's life.
We were believing for debt freedom in our own lives. So we were looking around and asking the Lord, who can we sow into? Whose mortgage can we help pay off? We sowed seed towards our own debt freedom. And we've been debt free now for quite a number of years and live in a debt free home. Bank can't take it. It belongs to us. And we sowed seed for that. We got on the giving end. Even while we were renovating the home that we are in now, and it was taking so long, we were still listening to the Lord. Yeah. Where do you want us to sow? Who do you want us to give to? When you would think at a time like that, you'd want to just hoard it. You want to hoard the money and keep it for yourself. The Lord was saying, keep giving. Keep sowing. Yeah. And there's a momentum.
The line is moving.
Hallelujah. I love it. The line is moving. And there's a momentum. There's a momentum that builds giving and receiving, giving and receiving, giving and receiving. And it gets bigger. It's like the big snowball that goes down, the little snowball that goes down the mountain. And it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And you get into a cycle, an amazing cycle of continual sowing and reaping. And you can get into the place where it's the sowing and the reaping is on top of each other.
It says the sower what? Overtakes the reaper.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And you get to the place where you, it's like you sow a seed into the ground, you throw it into the ground and the harvest pops out. You throw that seed and then here comes the harvest.
It becomes a lifestyle.
It does become a lifestyle. And just before we went on the air, you were talking about a scripture in Proverbs 11. I want to add this into it. In Proverbs 11, 24, there is he that scatters and yet increases. And there is he that withholds more than is meet, but that tends to poverty. Withholding.
Don't want to do that.
Tends to poverty. So withholding during a time between the time of the amen and there it is, withholding will impede and stop the receiving. And it says right here, he that scatters will increase.
Yeah.
But he that withholds, that tends to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat or shall prosper. That's what the word fat is prosper. And he that waters shall be watered himself. And Gloria made a statement. We have a Gloriaism that just came a few moments ago before we came on the air. Listen to this. If you want to be in on the receiving end, get in on the giving end.
That's it.
And that's it right there. That's it right there. If you want to get in on the receiving end, then you're going to have to get in on the giving end. If you're believing God right now for finances, don't stop tithing.
Oh, no.
Don't stop tithing.
Or sowing. Don't stop.
Don't stop sowing. Don't stop tithing. I'll tell you, Gloria, that the tithing revelation is increasing more and more in our lives. Terry and I, we have been believing for the promises of the tither. And one of the promises is that God rebukes the devourer.
That's right.
There's the windows of heaven
There's
are open
great
over
increase
us.
In tithing.
And God rebukes the devourer. And we faced some things in the house here recently that we've had to get fixed. There was a mold issue from rain, and we had to get that fixed. And they go through all of the stuff that you have to go through to get to read the mold and then get the mold out and then rebuild. So we're having to rebuild a section of the house. Then the other day, Terry put some, she took squash, cut it in half and put it in the microwave because we were gonna have that for dinner. She does the squash and then she puts, anyway. So she put it in there and she pressed the button and the clock was going. And she took it out, but nothing had happened. Well, she put it back again in, and what happened was the clock is running, but the actual microwave wasn't working. And she slapped that thing, and she said, I claim tither's rights. The devil is rebuked. The devourer is rebuked.
Devour.
He cannot steal our stuff. And for a few moments there, I was standing there watching this and going, yeah, we are tithers. We are tithers. Well, the point being is don't stop tithing in the midst of standing in faith, in the midst of believing God for whatever you're believing God right now, and you go down through these steps. When we talk about getting in...
That's like being in a fight and having one hand tied behind your back.
Well, yeah.
Because now you're under a curse and you're trying to increase, but you're not going to sow. You're not going to tithe.
Mm-mm. That doesn't work.
It just doesn't work.
That doesn't work. So we have to get in on the giving end.
Yes.
And one of the things that Brother Copeland talks about in his series on 7 Steps to Prayer That Brings Results, he said, get involved in helping somebody else. Now, we all know Brother Copeland around here, and the man is a breathtaking giver.
He is a breathtaking giver.
We are just all taken by what he does in his giving. He called me this morning before he left town. He's got a project going, and he didn't exactly ask me for money, because the church has its own benevolent account. We are together here, but yet John and Kenneth have allowed us to operate on our own finances. Mm-hmm. Well, we have our own benevolent fund, we have our own finances. So Brother Copeland calls me this morning, he's talking to me about this project, and I know him well enough. He doesn't have to ask me. He doesn't even have to say it. I know what he's saying. And I said to him, well, Kenneth, well, let me check our benevolent fund and see what we can do. Well, okay, George, that'll be fine with me. Well, he didn't exactly call me to, he's just wanting to give. He's just wanting to give. And he wanted me to get in on the giving right along with him. And it's a privilege and an honor to be able to do something with the man of God where this is concerned. But his attitude, he is a giver.
You should be married to him. Sometimes you wonder, is he going to give me away? No, I'm kidding. I never wondered that. I was making that up.
Well, you've seen it.
But victorious.
He's
giver.
A victorious take sower. Your breath giver, sower. He really is. You know, sometimes they'll call me from the office, or Jan will talk to me and say, no, Brother Copeland just gave such and such and such and such, and we all just sit there and go, that's Kenneth Copeland. Well, he's practicing, because he too has his faith out there for some things.
Sure.
We're believing God for that Citation 10 and everything around it that it takes. Pilots, fuel, the maintenance, the annuals, everything. And that's a chunk of money to be able to do that. Well, but he's using his faith and he's constantly sowing. He's constantly sending seed out there and constantly harvesting. And I was thinking about the example here of the Samaritan, the Good Samaritan, and that man got beat up, left on the side of the road, and that Good Samaritan came along, and when he saw him, he felt compassion towards him. And he basically what he did, it says, and I was reading this, he said he soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. He put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn where he took care of him. What a giver.
Isn't that something?
What a giver.
He had a heart for somebody.
He really did. And then it says, the next day, he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, take care of this man. If the bill runs higher than this, I'll pay you the next time that I'm here.
Yeah.
What a giver. And that's what we are supposed to do. That's what if we are truly believing God for things in our lives, we need to get in on the giving end. We need to get in on the sowing end. Because when we do so, we will reap harvest.
That's right.
Look at your third page, Gloria. And as we finish up this teaching, I'll just share a couple of things with you.
My third page.
Yeah, second page. I'm sorry. Okay. Second page. I keep saying third page, but it's your second page.
You haven't done that one yet.
I know. I haven't done that one. That's next time. Just a couple of things that I wanted to leave you with in terms of the whole idea of giving. Get on the giving end. First of all, there's a quote that I use in church all the time. Our motivation for accumulation is distribution. That's what
good.
It's all about.
That's good.
That's what it's all about. And I quote here, Brother Copeland, true prosperity is the ability to use the power of God to meet the needs of mankind in every realm of life, spirit, soul, body, financially, socially. We prosper so that we can help others to prosper.
That's right.
Then the second one here, true prosperity is walking with God to be able and equipped to do for others. This is the second one here.
Are you sure I've got that?
You got that one. True prosperity is walking with God to be able and equipped to do for others whatever He needs done, wherever He needs it done, and whatever He needs it done with. That's what true prosperity is. That's what it's about. In Philippians 2:4, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. In Galatians 6:10, in the Knox translation, let us practice generosity to all while the opportunity is ours, and above all, to those who are one family with us in the household of faith.
Praise God.
Now, we were believing God for the Citation 10. This was a number of years ago. And we were at a ministers' conference. We have a yearly ministers' conference, and we were having that ministers' conference here. And I remember the night that Creflo Dollar got up in front of everybody and he said, we, Taffy and I, the church, are emptying out the church savings account in order to sow it into the citation that Brother Copeland is
Praise
believing
God.
For. That really is something that really touched my heart, that Creflo could have used that money
sure.
for other things. I'm sure he could have been spending money, and it was a lot. It wasn't a small amount of money. It was a major, major
Praise
sum
God.
Of money.
Praise God.
He was believing God for an airplane. So he got involved in the giving end. And the giving is all part of the process of faith in getting your prayers answered. That's a major thing. It is when you say, mm-hmm. when you say, I receive this in Jesus' name, amen, I take it now, so be it. Then from that point on, we begin to operate in the stand of faith.
That goes back to Proverbs 11. There is he that scattereth, mm-hmm. and yet increaseth.
Yet increases.
And there is that he that withholdeth
yep.
more than his meat. In other words, he's withholding too much.
Too much.
But it tendeth to poverty.
Yeah, that's the key.
Scripture. That's Proverbs 11:24.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So, Gloria, we have been talking all this time about those faith steps. And I remember one time we were in a meeting. This was 1970. I was married, so 77 at that time. We were in Pennsylvania. We had a meeting in Pittsburgh. Went up there with Brother Copeland. And I remember we were in a hotel ballroom in those days. And he had a healing service that night. And there was a young man that had braces on his legs, and he had crutches that he was having to walk with. And that night, Brother Copeland was laying hands on the sick, and he got to this man, he laid hands on him. And Kenneth began to operate in the working of miracles, and he kept saying to that young man, every step is a step of faith. Every step is a step of faith. And he took one step. And then barely another step. And Brother Copeland just kept saying, every step is a step of faith. And he kept doing it. And all of a sudden, the crutches come down. He took those leg braces off.
I was thinking he had braces.
And he began to run. And Brother Copeland, he was running. And I was taking pictures at the time. And I took a picture. We have a picture of it somewhere. I think I put it in the magazine. And he's running up and down the aisles. Right. And Brother Copeland is shouting, every step is a step of faith. And he left there completely healed.
Praise
I'm
God.
Telling you today, every step is a step
yeah,
of faith.
That's right.
Don't get bogged down. Don't get mm-hmm. worried. Don't get
that's
some
right.
concern. You take these 10 steps that Gloria and I have taught you over the last 10 days, apply them, be a doer of the Word of God. And Father, we thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
We praise you right now. We stand in agreement with everyone for what they are standing and
yes,
believing for. Lord, we are walking by faith and not by sight. We have it now.
We take the necessary steps in
order to see the fruition of it
Praise
and the
God.
Manifestation of what we're believing
Praise
for. And we
Glory.
Receive, Lord, this teaching.
Yes.
Every step is a step
Every
of faith.
Every step.
And we take hold of it faith. Now in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah,
Amen.
George.
We did it, Gloria.
Good job. Good
we did
job.
It.
Good
we did
job.
It. We did it.
Glory to God. George and I'll be right back.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. And remember, Jesus is Lord.